Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa's John Papa John Entrepreneurial Center and their National Science Foundation I-Corps Training Program, helping faculty, staff, and students make an impact with their innovations and research. More at iowajpec.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. There are a lot of things that it is not safe to do in a pandemic. Putting on plays and theater productions is one of those things. The University of Iowa Theater Arts Department has come up with a unique way to perform and to honor essential workers, the people who cannot stay safe at home during this pandemic. It's called Essential Workers, a Portrait, and episodes are available on YouTube for a limited time. Alan McVeigh is here. He is director of the Division of Performing Arts, professor of theater arts at the University of Iowa. Alan, hello.
Hello. Nice to talk to you, Charity.
And help us understand this project, Essential Workers, a Portrait. It's a pretty complex piece of theater that you're putting together to post on YouTube and featuring the stories of essential workers. But explain what each episode contains for me.
Right. It is kind of chock full, every one of those episodes. So there's a host, and every host is an undergraduate student welcoming everybody. And then we go to have an interview with one essential worker. We have seven episodes, and each one has a different kind of worker. Sometimes they're like a grocery clerk and a person who works for the CDC, a physician, a truck driver, and so forth. So each episode has an interview that with a sort of fairly short, about 7-minute interview with that person. Now, while that's going on, an artist, who's also a student, is watching and starting to either paint or draw a picture, a portrait of this particular person. And we follow that through the episode. We see it here, we see it two other times, and at the very end of the episode, we see the completed portrait. And it's given, or we will send it, to the guest. So first we have an interview, then we see the portrait being drawn, and we talk a little bit to the artist. Then we come back to the host, who introduces us to a play. And the play is, they're short plays. All of them, as it turned out, are one-person plays. And each of those plays is a response to what the playwright learned from the guest. It sometimes it's really quite close to what the guest does, and sometimes it's not. But it's always in relationship to what we've learned. So these one-person plays are performed by an actor who is also an undergraduate in the theater arts department. So we see that play, and then we return one more time to watch the portrait being drawn, and then finally to a conclusion where we see the portrait, meet the guest one more time, and then close. These are each about 22, 23 minutes long.
And so at that point, the guest has also seen the portrait and seen this performance based on their ideas and their experience, right?
That's exactly right. And so we returned, you know, when we filmed this, we of course saw the guest up front for the interview. And then after the guest has seen the play and seen the portrait, we return to them and ask them, you know, what do you have to say about this? And each of them, they're all a little bit, how to put this? They're, you know, most of them don't come from this world where they watch plays or where they, hardly anybody's ever had a portrait drawn of them. And so it's kind of great to get their reactions, and which are all, you know, very positive. And it's very nice to see.
Well, so people can understand even better, we're going to play a little selection of one of the episodes. This is from the first episode of Essential Workers, a Portrait. It starts off with an interview with Jacqueline Rosado. She works in a grocery store in San Francisco. She's interviewed by Courtney Graham. And then later, we have a performance by Courtney Graham, who performs You Mean Menial by KT Peterson. So let's listen to a selection from that performance. Courtney Graham talking about how the environment in the grocery store has changed with the pandemic.
But you also see panic in a whole new way when you're the person between supplies and no supplies. I mean, I will really watch people go around Robin Hood's barn trying not to jump down my throat because we're out of whatever. They're scared. We don't know how to be alone without stuff. Stuff is calming. Stuff is, well, we haven't really tried another way. Grocers have been around for a really long time, and there were IOUs and all that till the farmer's harvest came to pay for cold cream and canned beans, whatever. If you're asking me if I was scared to go to work, of course. Of course. Maybe some days I got by feeling needed. Needed is nice. There's so many ways to feel invisible these days.
That's just a selection from Essential Workers, A Portrait. That's from the first episode. And Alan, I have watched the episode with a teacher who happens to be a teacher from Iowa City, from Northwest Junior High, Brooke Freund. I also watched the episode with a firefighter. And of course, we've had just terrible fires this year, and firefighters have to go to work no matter what. What are the other essential workers that are featured in the series?
Right. Well, in the group that's up now, so the first four are up now, and the next three will be up later. Sorry, I just got another phone call there. There are two physicians, one who works for the CDC, and it's interesting because you just spent some time talking with someone from the Meskwaki tribe, and he, part of his episode is about working with the Navajo tribe when COVID first started, and it's very, very moving, his experience. We also have a policeman, a trucker, and then another physician from San Francisco who deals with COVID and other things as well. So that's the seven.
How did you find the essential workers that you would profile?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, when we got everybody together, in other words, I cast eight actors and got the writers and got the portrait artists and then a crew, and got everybody together on Zoom one night, and I said, okay, so we need to find some people who would be good for this, and I think the best way to do it is to have personal contacts if we can. So I asked everybody to think about somebody, one or two people that we might ask, and if they thought they were good, to call them up and see would they be comfortable with this. And we got a list of about 20 people, and out of that 20, we chose seven. Some of it had to do with range. In other words, we wanted to have a range of people. We wanted to have men and women. We wanted to have various races represented. And as it turned out, we also had geographical areas represented. And also people who actually had the time, because all these people are super busy.
Yeah.
They're all working. And so they had to be able to meet with us for an interview and follow up with a second one later. So that's how we did it. It was personal contacts.
So take me back to the very start of this idea. Of course, last spring, universities had to shut down and send everybody home and go virtual. I'm sure there were a number of productions in the works last spring that never got to be performed in the Department of Theater Arts. So you had to come up with a way for people to have the kind of academic and performance experience that they came to the University of Iowa for, but in a safe and responsible way. How did you come up with this project?
Well, you're exactly right. We did cancel some productions in the fall, and all of our productions this year are online. That's very different, and it took a lot of effort on the part of a lot of people to figure out what to do. My part of that was I was supposed to direct a play for our regular main stage season, and I concluded that was just it wouldn't work on video. It was just not going to be a good idea. So I was one night. My wife has been watching a British series called Portrait Artist of the Year, and then Portrait Artist of the Week. And I joined her a couple times, and during one of those, I thought, well, maybe we could do something like this. Where you really pay attention to a person, you talk with the person, and they paint their portrait over time. There's a kind of competition built into some of that. I didn't want to do that. But then I thought, well, we're a theater department. We're not an art department. So I thought, well, we can mix all this, and it would be a really good idea to pull playwrights, actors, artists and also the technical design people necessary to make all this happen together into a team and or a series of teams and let everybody, including myself, learn about all this. I'd never done anything for television in my life or for film. And so we were all learning as we went. And so that's the idea. And the heart of it, as you said in your introduction, really was to honor essential workers. And my personal experience on it was probably similar to most people's, is that you say, well, these are essential workers. That's good. Thank you very much. But as you actually engage with individuals who are doing it and hear their particular stories, you have a much richer appreciation for what they do for us. And that's the way it happened to me.
How have your students been responding to this? I mean, this is a pretty intimate experience that they're going through.
Very. In fact, you know, we had to learn, for starters, they just had to learn something about interviewing people, which you know very well. You do it really well, and it's an art. And none of us had that art. We didn't really know how to do it. So they had to figure that out as they went. Then the playwrights had to figure out, how do I write a play that's appropriate for this, related to this, but not exactly the same as this? And then the actors had to take all that and do it in a way that the play was revealed truly, but also that the guest felt good about it.
Yeah, an incredibly nerve-wracking experience that must be to write a play based on somebody's words, and then they're almost your whole audience for seeing it, at least at the start. I mean, the rest of the audience comes later. Did the students talk about that?
Yeah, they did. But, you know, another thing I learned about all this was how different it is working in theater, which I've spent 50 years doing, and in film or television where, and particularly in this situation, everything we did was on Zoom. So it was never in the same presence of the person or anybody else. Mm-hmm. And that was also quite different, extremely different. I'm used to being in a rehearsal room with people, and all of a sudden you're on a computer. And so it's just a different experience.
Is there one of the episodes that surprised you that you just didn't expect what the students would do with it?
Yeah, there were a couple in terms of the plays in particular. So one of the episodes, which is with the firefighter, he talks about his job quite a bit, but he also touches on his family. And he had a little boy who's 7 weeks old at the time, and whose name is Forrest. And the writer took that and went with that and actually set the play in a forest. We filmed it, actually. It was one of the few that we did outside. It was about being in a forest and hearing his child from a distance calling him. And all of this, underneath all of it, was a sense that the world is in trouble, which we are. But it wasn't spoken directly. It was all indirect. And I really loved that particular episode. It was it's subtle and different from what we hear in the interview, but related.
I told you I watched the teacher episode, and that turned into a musical, which was great fun. And I happen to know Brooke Freund, and that seems perfect for her. She teaches language arts and drama, and she's a very dramatic woman herself.
A wonderful singer herself.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So that seemed really ideal, but also unexpected.
Yes, right. I didn't expect it at all. I actually had a hint up front that the playwright said I might do this as a song. So I cast the actor, an actor who could sing really well, and she does sing really well in that, and you heard it. But I had no idea what to expect, and he did a great job with it.
Well, so these essential workers that you're talking with are frequently reflecting on the early days of the pandemic. And here we are with the pandemic raging worse than ever, particularly here in the state of Iowa. Have you had an opportunity to talk to your students about how this experience, how creating these performances has changed how they're thinking about what's going on right now?
No, I actually haven't been in touch with them in the last 2 or 3 weeks, which is when all this has just exploded. But I do know that every one of them said that they were moved and touched by their experience working and talking to these guests. And as I was, it just makes everything so personal. And so even we're all aware that, well, it's interesting because you, in your previous segment, you asked a question about Thanksgiving and so forth. And when you asked that, what came to my mind, and I'm sure it would come to the mind of every one of our students, is how many essential workers were required to get the dinner on your table, from, you know, whatever it is, raising the turkey to the slaughterhouse to truckers to grocery workers all the way to your house. It's a lot of people to make our Thanksgivings a holiday.
Yeah, a lot and of people we've been able to take for granted for a very long time.
Well, exactly right. And that's one of the things that the grocer said in the very first episode was, you know, people suddenly say, oh, you're not just a clerk, you're actually helping me and helping me survive. Well, gosh, thank you.
Well, I was going to ask you what you hoped people would take away from watching these episodes, but I think you just answered me, Alan.
I think so, too. It's an appreciation for, I mean, a personal, deep appreciation, a little bit more than just thank you very much, but oh, wow, well, thank you for doing this.
We toss that word hero around a lot, and I worry that it's becoming a little empty. Do you worry
yes.
about that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We have a lot of people. It's not a word, I think it's not a word that any one of our seven guests would have used on themselves. They might have used it on somebody else who's an essential worker, but not on themselves.
Alan, thank you so much for being here today. And again, these episodes will be available for a limited time, right? If people want to watch these, how long do they have?
Actually, for about a month.
All
They're
right.
on YouTube, and you can get to them through the University of Iowa Theater Arts website.
All right. Thank you so much for talking with me, Alan McVeigh.
Thank you, Charity.
Alan McVeigh is director of the Division of Performing Arts, professor of theater arts at the University of Iowa. We've been talking about Essential Workers, A Portrait, and episodes of Essential Workers, A Portrait are available on YouTube with some new episodes coming this weekend. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa's John Papa John Entrepreneurial Center and their National Science Foundation I-Corps Training Program, helping faculty, staff, and students make an impact with their innovations and research. More at iowajpec.org.